It is time for another edition of the At Your Service podcast, part of the Branson Podcast Network. I'm Scott McCauley. We're glad to have you on board today. Hey, if you've not been elsewhere on the Branson Podcast Network lately, check it out. If you are a Kansas City Chiefs football fan, and I am, and I make no bones about it, we have started with Defending the Chiefs Kingdom again. New episodes are posting right now with Mitch Holtis and the crew, and of course, our KRZK Radio will have Chiefs football on the air again this year, but we keep up to date on the Branson Podcast Network with Defending the Chiefs Kingdom. Of course, we got other podcasts, including right here on At Your Service. We have our visits with the Stone County Community Health Coalition and the Taney County Health Department, as well as our regularly weekly feature, which is the Conservation Report. Each week we visit with a member of the Conservation Department. And delivering this week's Conservation Report is the gentleman I call the executive producer or the coordinator of our reports, because he's the one that makes sure all the agents are here, or at least try to get here, and he's in the house with us here in the Grand Country Studio. Quentin Fronhouse, one of the Taney County agents. How you doing, Quentin?
I'm doing good, Scott. Yeah, it's been a while since I've been here. Now that we have like six agents doing the rotation, you only have to see me once every 6 weeks.
So. I know. I had that last. Who was? It was Chris Boyd. I guess it was here, yeah, last week that we were talking about the same thing with Michaela in the rotation now from Christian County, and Michaela and Kirby both shared with us here a couple of weeks ago that Michaela's not going to be alone up there for
right.
very long.
Yeah, we have a new agent, Alex Walker, coming to Christian County here September 1st. So we're looking forward to having him as a new addition to the
So are you like looking to retire from the report? Is that you're going to go, if I get enough people
well,
in here?
You know, it worked real well once every six. Now it's an odd number, once every seven, right?
Yeah. So. Well, it gives us options, gives us opportunities, and so on and so forth.
Well,
so
maybe you'll have to listen to Dan Aiken a few times less.
Right? I would say that's a positive, but I don't want to go on the record there, so we will move on. No, I like all of our agents. We have fun with all of them, but we also get out some important information. I do got to ask you, because we've not talked in a little bit, but we certainly haven't talked since all these rounds of storms have been going through. But man, I think it's been a long time, Quentin, since I've gone around to our counties and seen this many trees that have been down in the area. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's like one after another, one every other week, it seems like. And that's one thing I was going to talk about. You know, we did have quite a bit of destruction on some of our conservation areas. Fortunately, we've been able to clean up most of that and get those back open again. But just be cautious if you are, you know, going down some of the trails, especially in those low lit times, early mornings, maybe the, you know, late afternoons. There are some limbs that may possibly be across some of the trails, the hiking trails that weren't there before, that you might stumble upon. So just be aware that those are, you know, possibly there still, Scott.
Yeah, and especially we were talking, in fact, we did a story on this earlier about the fact that a lot of areas you have those lines, power lines that got hit by trees, and that's why some of the people, even as we're recording this here on Friday, August 11th, there's still people, especially in Ozark County, that don't have power. A lot of folks in the area around Marion Woods here in Taney County didn't have power for several days because, you know, it's not easy just hooking up lines. Sometimes you got to get around the trees to get there.
Yeah, I think with this heat, you know, as we were having those heat advisories out, we had it was just hard for somebody to work the time that's needed to get those power lines up. I mean, it's just hard on your body. So I feel for those linemen guys that are out there. They've got to remove the trees, then they've got to get the power lines up and deal with 110 degree, you know, heat indexes. And but like you said, yeah, we were fortunate to be out just one day, but we had some friends that were out 2 and 3 days. And I think this week there's like 600 to 700 people in Ozark County. They're still out of electricity. So we feel for them and just hope that gets back on quickly, Scott.
Yeah, and we were talking about our shows here on the Branson Podcast Network. One of them is one that Arvis Bank presents called The Heart of the Emergency Worker. And I think we had someone maybe from Liberty, but I know we had someone from one of the power companies on one of those podcasts that you can hear. And, you know, talked about their priorities in trying to get everyone back into power, on power as quickly as possible, but it is definitely challenging for sure.
Oh yeah, I imagine so, especially in some of those more rural counties like Ozark County, where you may only have one person on the line. You know, you have 700 people that just have one person on the line. That's a lot of work to do. So
yep, so they're getting that all restored. But the good news is here's the other side of this, and I haven't really had a chance to look at the drought report this week, but we have been getting some much needed rainfall, and I know some of those drought numbers are starting to go down a little bit again, which is good news out of all this.
We've been getting some rain regularly, so that is one good thing to be thankful of. The rivers are up and they've actually got some water back in the creeks, you know, whereas before it looked like a rock quarry in some of the places.
Oh, there was a creek there. I forgot about that. Yes.
Like, well, I thought there was water running here a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But, so we've got some water back in the creeks, which is good for the fish. I mean, they like some water, but there also is, you know, we have like the James River, which is a big tributary. And so some of those are a little bit higher than they were. So just be cautious if you are going to be out on the waterways. If you're floating, some of those trees did get blown across the rivers. So if you're floating down them, you have current pushing you into a tree that's across the river, it can be a dangerous situation. So just maybe go ahead and check some of those places before you go out, and just be cautious. If you see the waters up, you know, higher than what you would feel safe going, just hold off on that for a little bit. But always wear your life jacket and just make some good decisions out there. But it's definitely been a wild a few weeks with these storms, and we're still trying to clean up, like I said. But some of our trails we just haven't been able to get to. Most of our parking lots and areas are open, but just be cautious if you go to our conservation areas when you're walking the trails,
Scott. So, yeah, keep that in mind and keep everything open up. But the good news is, even though we have a little bit of a hot weekend, I think we're kind of starting to moderate into that fall pattern. And I know when we start talking autumn, we start talking a whole set of things with the Missouri Department of Conservation.
Yeah, I know. I was like, well, should I talk about the seasons now? It's only August the 11th, but I mean, that's just in the forefront.
The way this rotation goes, by the time you hear again, we'll probably start in the firearms deer season.
I know, it'll be Christmas. We'll be. So, it's crazy. You know, it's funny though. We have like just different seasons throughout the year, whether they're hunting seasons or not. But right now I call it the tourist season. It's not an MDC season, but we're having lots and lots of problems on Taney Como with some of the trout regulations that we have set there. The upper portion of Lake Taney Como, the two-mile stretch there, is kind of a trophy area where you can't use any live bait or anything, any soft plastics or anything was sent to it. And then there's some regulations on length limits. Anything under 12, or let's go with anything between 12 and 20 have to be released. So you can keep anything under 12. You have to throw everything back from 12 to 20, and then keep a fish that's over 20, unless it's a brown. A brown has to be 20 inches throughout the whole lake. So we're having some people that are having some issues following those regulations, and with the influx of all the tourists, I feel like, I'm not saying this in a bad way, but they see a river and they want to go and fish it, and they fish it the same way they do every other place. They just get some worms and they go out there and cast in. But I'm just ask that maybe you stop and read the signs there in the parking lot. And it's funny though. I'll ask him like, well, we didn't know that this. I said, that's fine, and I'm not trying to harp on you or anything, but just stop and read the sign. They said, well, nobody reads the sign that's swimming pool. The sign is there. And I'm like, well, you may be right. I don't know what the swimming pool rules say, but here, if you break these rules, it's a little bit more costly and a little bit more. You have a little more. I think you should read the rules whenever you go to a conservation area to see what you could or couldn't be breaking the law of. So
yeah, because here we've said this before, Quentin and his fellow agents would much rather be coming up to you and saying, man, I love that. How much we catch? How did you catch that? Rather than, okay, I need your name and address and start running out of summons. I mean, you don't want to do that. I mean, you don't want to do that.
We don't want to. It makes us look like the bad guy, But, we have these things that we hand out called sonic citations. It's actually where we see somebody doing something good and we write them a sonic citation. It gives them a free ice cream cone when they go to Sonic. And so I would much rather write that than a citation for you to go to court, Scott.
And basically, to the conversation we had earlier, I will guarantee you we have a rotation right now. We have a rotation of five agents on this show. And I will tell you, some of the agents that appear on this show, if you're catching some good fish, they could use your advice on what you're catching. So just keep that in mind. So let them take that advice and not have to write you up and put you in. So read those signs. Make sure everything's good, because we want the areas, all seriousness, we want the areas to be safe and proper for everybody.
We do. We want them to be safe. And we have those regulations there for a reason. I mean, that's one of the top trout fisheries in the nation. And it's that way because we have some regulations there that protect those bigger trout. If you're using bait out there, the studies show that they swallow the bait much deeper, and they end up, whenever you try to release them, they end up dying because it's hooked in their guts. And so that's what we're trying to prevent up there. Some people are like, well, why is that here? Well, that's why. And the studies show that it actually works. I mean, we have a huge amount of fish in that, 18 to 20, even we have fish every day that are caught, 25 inches plus, and that's a huge trout. So you can't just catch those anywhere. But we're real proud of that. And we have a lot of people up there that, you know, just, they're just in love with that stream. And I love it too. So we just ask that you try and follow those regulations, just to keep you out of trouble.
So speaking of that, let's just talk about what, since we're on fishing right now, you know, obviously Taney Como, there's always a lot of great fish there, but what's it been like on Table Rock and Bull Shoals lately?
You know, Table Rock and Bull Shoals have both been, with those heat, you know, hot days, the temperatures are like in the 90s, and it's been really weird. You know, we've been able to catch some fish, and you would think, well, if it's that hot, the fish are probably out deeper, but we have a thermocline that usually sets up in that 20 to 25 foot area. And the thermocline is where basically below that, the temperature is colder, but it's kind of void of oxygen. So that upper 25 feet is where all the oxygen is at, and that's where the fish are going to be held. So, you know, if you're out fishing, make sure you're in that, you know, that lower, or that shallower area. And we've even been catching quite a few fish on Bull Shoals up in that 1 to 2 foot range where the water is, you know, it's in the high, maybe mid 90s even, but the bass has been real good. We're running into a lot of people using the live scopes. That's something we're still trying to fill out to see how that's affecting the fish numbers, the populations. We haven't seen you know, a decline or anything. And if you're not familiar with a live scope, it's basically a fish finder that shows real time. So you could actually see the fish out there. You can actually see your lure and see how close proximity it is to the fish. And it's really helping people catch a lot more fish this time of year, Scott.
Yep. So as we get into the fall, those fishing conditions will get better as those temperatures certainly start to moderate. And I mean, even though weather conditions sometimes, even in hunting, the worst weather conditions can be some of the best hunting, we still want to be comfortable. So just keep that in mind.
You know? Yeah, that's right. I always compare it to me being sluggish when it's hot out. You know, when it's hot, I want to sit on the couch, and so those fish, they don't feel like eating.
Well, so. I will tell you this. I'm an all-weather person. I love the couch in any season. But anyway, We'll move on to the next topic. And what is the next topic?
You know, I was just going to, you know, it's kind of, we usually talk about what we're going to talk about before we talk. Yeah. So it's kind of a surprise. But, you know, I like to have fun and joke around a little bit. And I just thought it was funny. You know, we always talk about hunter's ed and being able to properly identify your target and, you know, make sure you know, what you're getting ready to pull the trigger on is what you want to shoot. And it just made me think about, you know, these, with the fall seasons, we got hunter's ed coming up. Which if you are interested in hunter's ed, let's go to mdc.mo.gov. You can sign up for any class in the state, depending on what county you live in. But let's change gears here. This is just something funny made me think of, but, some of the funny calls that we get sometimes, Scott. And so anyways, this will make you laugh, but,
all right.
And I'm not making fun of the person that called or anything. I won't even share their name, Dan Aiken. But no, it was definitely wasn't Dan. But we, you know, we as being members of, you know, of a law enforcement organization, we get calls about lots and lots of different things. And also being a wildlife agency, most of those, you know, center around wildlife, deer, fish, things like that. And, you know, with our hotlines that we have, the Operation Game Thief hotline, which is 1-800-392-1111, you can call that anytime. We ask that you don't, you know, maybe call us, say you have like an injured duck in your yard or something. We ask that you don't call 911 for something like that. Or, you know, if it's an emergency, that's where the 911 call comes into play. We just don't want to overload the 911 call center at the county,
right?
You know, for something simple.
For any county, for that matter.
Right, or any county, city, yeah, right. Or anywhere, for that matter, for something that's, you know, maybe not a true emergency, Scott. So, anyway, some of these calls that we get, you know, the other day I had a call down at Taney Como since we were talking about, you know, trout violations. And so sometimes we have people that, you know, they see a violation and they want to report it, and that's great. We, you know, we give rewards for people that you provide information that leads to arrests. But this particular day, so we've got a guy that calls and says, hey, I've got an individual down here that's trout fishing, and they have a trout that's in the slot, which would be that 12 to 20 range. It's illegal length trout. It's on a stringer. This is what the person's wearing. This is where, you know, this is their license plate of their truck. And I go down there and find the guy, and I'm like, man, surely not, Scott. Surely this is not the person. So I walk up there, and guess what's on that stringer, Scott?
Uh-oh.
This is fitting. Something you and I would probably do. But temperature, you know, in Taney Como is like 50 degrees.
Right.
So you have the cold water running out of Table Rock Lake, and it's 50, you know, degrees. Well, it makes sense. If you had a jug of tea, that you were wanting to drink, maybe put it on a little string and set it in that cool water to keep it cold, Scott. So not do I find an illegal length trout, but I find a jug of tea on a string. And so it makes it makes yourself, kind of laugh about stuff. But I'd call that a case of mistaken identity right there, Scott.
Yeah, but, certainly we still want you to call, but just in case. But I often said, and I said this, and again, I admit, I host this show, but I'm not much of an angler. We do love walking the trails, but I had a hunting, when I was younger, but I don't do a lot of that. But I would say that if you ever saw me out in the outdoors, and if I was fishing or hunting, and I had that prize game, and you said, Scott, there's no way you could catch that. I says, don't worry. I've already called Operation Game Thief on myself because I want to make sure I did do it right. Because if I saw me in the mirror, I'd go, oh, I got to call. I got to turn myself in because I couldn't have done this right. That's how lucky I would be.
You want to document that for sure, don't you?
Yeah, I would say, I just want to be sure. I'm going to call beforehand and do that. But here's the thing, and we've talked about this before with Operation Game Thief. The reason that line exists is because you and all the other agents, you cannot keep an eye on everything. You want your eyes and ears out there with everybody to make sure that, and as you said, sometimes people aren't even aware they're breaking the regulation.
Right.
That's just a lesson for them to say, oh yeah, we got to do that. So that's why that Operation Game Thief hotline is so important.
It is. It's important. You can call and ask questions there. Even it's not like an emergency type situation where you have to have an emergency to call that. So you can call, you can ask questions, say, hey, I'm not sure what's going on here, but I think something looks a little suspicious, a little fishy, I guess you could say. But in this case, fortunately, it was a gallon of sweet tea, which was legal to possess in that stretch of the river, Scott.
Yeah, it was.
But I'm not sure if you, I can continue on with these. I've got a couple other ones if you got time.
Sure, go ahead.
Now, another one, and again, I'm pointing fun at anybody. It's just, I think this job is fun, and I love, seeing some of the reactions on people's faces, and I love, seeing the people that I get to meet on a daily basis. But sometimes, we just get these calls that makes us all laugh. And I think, it kind of makes our day. But we have a bear season now here in this county. And so there's been quite a bit of, talk about, the bear permits. There's a little bit of excitement about applying for those permits. And if you get drawn, And so sometimes it's good excitement, sometimes it's bad excitement when you see a bear. Sometimes you want to see one, sometimes you don't want to see one. And so anyways, this particular day we got a bear call about a bear that was hit on Highway 65. And so it's a bear, it has a white ear tag. And sometimes when we do studies on these bears, we tag them so we can see, kind of their movements if they get caught or seen or, throughout the county. And so we respond to this bear to see, okay, what tag number is it? Has it been tagged? And just see, we want to do some studies on that, see how much it gained, see if it, if it was a male or female. And so we get there, and Scott, what do you think we find? we find an Ottoman. a brown Ottoman, does have four legs, and it looks like it did skid down the road a little bit. It did have a little white tuft of cotton stuck out the side, so that must have been the ear tag.
So a bear was mistaken for an Ottoman.
Well,
an Ottoman was mistaken for a bear, I guess I should say. Yeah,
yeah, it was. I could see it 60 miles an hour. Maybe a person would, maybe mistake that for that, and so. It's just funny. Like I said, I'm not trying to, make fun of anybody, but it is interesting some of the calls we get. But
yeah.
But then sometimes we do get calls, like I had an individual the other day call about some stuff down there at the hatchery. We'll go back to the hatchery again because it's been, man, I tell you what, I feel like I've neglected the whole rest of the county working the hatchery, the Taney Como there, the upper 2 mile stretch, because it's like a revolving door with people going in and out. And so this particular night I was working and had six different individuals. And they had, this person was right on the bat. I mean, just right on. I mean, they had like 10 trout total, and they'd buried like five or six of them in the gravel. And so,
sorry, that call was completely coincidental. That was not a sign of guilt or anything. Yeah. I just happened to be there.
I lost track of one guy. It kind of resembled you. This guy took off running in the fog. But
trust me, that'd been you to caught me because I can't run that fast.
Well, but anyways, they sure did. They buried five of the trout in the gravel, and I actually actually came across where they were buried at and dug them up. And it's interesting to see their faces. And And, you know, those obviously are the guys that were, you know, the individuals that we're looking for to write tickets to. I mean,
yeah,
those people knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing was wrong, and they tried to hide it. And that's the people that we're trying to catch out here, Scott. It's not that, you know, we're trying to punish everybody. But I feel like, you know, a person that's, you know, you walk up and you say, hey, how's it going? Are you having any luck? And they're like, oh, yeah, this power bait's working great. We've caught, you know, two trout. Here they are. We're so excited. That's a little bit different scenario than if you walk up and they start cutting their lines and they're throwing their fish in the water and then they've got fish that are buried in the gravel. I feel like I feel like they've got a little bit, you know.
I need a little bit more information from you, because we may need to see you again at some point.
Right. So. Yeah, I think the intent is totally, you know, different in those two different situations. So you're right. We don't enjoy writing tickets. I guess this all makes a full circle here. We don't enjoy writing tickets. Sometimes we have to. Sometimes our hands are tied in a situation. But those individuals like that, that's the ones that kind of make you think, okay, I did a really good job today, Scott.
Yeah. Well, because you want to preserve it for the people. Because here's the thing. You're talking about a minority, honestly, because the majority of people out there want to do it right. They want to share the outdoors, whether they're hunting, whether they're fishing, whether they're just enjoying the nature trails. And there's so much. I mean, that's one thing about this area. It's such beauty. We just want to share with everybody.
It is. And I tried and figure that all out before I even make contact. I guess part of our job, the good part about it is you get to stand back and watch people. There's really no rush. I mean, certain times there is. If it's like an emergency type, yeah, you got to rush. But most of the time, you know, we can sit back and say, okay, that guy's fishing. That guy's, okay, oh, that guy just hit a trout in the brush, you know. And so we can go and ask them, hey, do you have any trout? Nope, don't have any trout. If that person's lying to you, you know their intent is there to do wrong. You know, and that's where I think it really helps play on whether, you know, our decision making on who gets a ticket and who doesn't, Scott.
Yeah. And again, that's part of the conservation department's job. The agents are there to enforce law. You do enforce law. You are law enforcement, but you also got so many other things that you do. And that's why Operation Game Thief is so important. Anything else you want to hit real quick for
you? You know, like you said, the Operation Game Thief, we are good. I want to say I'm not that good, honestly, Scott, but as a whole, the agency is good at coming across stuff on their own. Sometimes I just luck upon things, but rely
fish being one of those, but that's another podcast. So,
you know, one of those things where it's just sometimes you're lucky, some days you're not, but we rely on the public a lot. And a lot of that's, you know, just from people calling and saying, hey, I think this is going on. And that's where we rely on the Operation Game Thief hotline, Scott, 1-800-392-1111. Or if you don't want to do that, you know, all of our phone numbers are actually published on the internet. So just go to mdc.mo.gov, look for the county that you're in, and the agents in every county will be published there. You can contact them directly on their cell phone, Scott.
Yeah, and we've often said this, you know, Operation Game Thief, if you're outdoors a lot, and the agents in your area, probably good numbers to have on your call list, if you will, you know, where you can call them quickly, have those numbers handy, because you never know when you're going to need them. I have all the agents' numbers because, A, we communicate when we're getting the report ready to go. But like I did with Kirby Bridges and Dan Vanderhoff a couple years ago, I had to consult them on some mushrooms we found on our yard. And again, of our agents that we work with, those are our two mushroom experts.
Right.
You know, and so I texted them pictures, and Kirby actually got right back with me, and we knew what we had there. So yeah. it was interesting. So they're everyone's very helpful. Everyone's willing to be that conduit of information to help you enjoy the outdoors, but they're also there to make sure the outdoors are used properly. So help them out, and they would appreciate it. And of course, a lot of this, as you mentioned, is on the website, right?
It is. mdc.mo.gov is a wealth of knowledge. You can go there and search for anything. Like I said, our phone numbers if you have regulation questions, but feel free to call us anytime. And one thing, we did have a complaint the other day. Somebody was like, man, I can never get a hold of that agent. And I was looking at the number they had in their phone saved under that agent. It was the wrong phone number. And so make sure when you do get those numbers in your phone or whatever, if you text us, sometimes we may be on vacation. You know, it's not going to notify us that a text comes through if we have our phone shut off and, you know, on leave or whatever. So always contact both agents and somebody will get back to you, I promise.
Absolutely. Hey, Quentin, it's always great to seeing you, and have a little fun today catching up with some fun stories from the Missouri Department of Conservation. And we'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
All right. Sounds good, Scott.
Thank you. Quentin Frontenhaus delivering this week's Conservation Report. Hey. And that wraps up this week's edition of the At Your Service podcast with the Missouri Department of Conservation, our weekly conservation report. You know, we mentioned football earlier. That's one place Quentin and I see each other, is on the football field, basketball courts, and that's getting ready to start up on the high school level. So we'll have information on that. Of course, I mentioned the Defending the Chiefs podcast here on the Branson Podcast Network. We got a lot. Check it out, BransonPodcastNetwork.com.